Open your Bibles, if you would, Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Won't you listen just a few minutes? I know that probably a common message and common theme, but it sounds common until you need it. And when you need it, you need to get a hold of it. The Bible speaks of three types of peace. Peace with God. Make peace with God when you get saved. You make peace with God through Christ Jesus. Then the peace of God. Having the peace of God in your life. Just because you made peace with God doesn't mean you've got the peace of God. You can lose the peace of God. Then there is another peace that will happen when Jesus comes back. The one the angels proclaim, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Somebody said, isn't it terrible what's happening in our world today? It is. But when Jesus comes, there will be peace on earth. There will be lions and lambs laid together. There will be wolves and goats. Children can play in the holes of poisonous asps and not be harmed when that happens. Peace is something that lost people never truly ever knows. They think they do. They have moments of tranquility, but peace. Tonight we want to talk about the peace of God. The peace of God here that we're going to read about comes when there's trouble in your life. Now listen to me very carefully. Everybody will have trouble. Different ones mention different ones in prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. We've seen it. We've experienced. You can get news today that will change your life the rest of your life. You can also get news that will end your life very quickly. Every time I think about this, I think about Brother Ron, that Linda's husband. 2 years around here, he went about going to doctors, trying to figure out having stomach problems. And went and had all kinds of tests. Then when they finally diagnosed him, they gave him 3 weeks. And he didn't even make 3 weeks. I'm telling you that there can be things happen. I've been in church services like this and left them and had someone get killed on the way home. It can change your life. And I know I worked in it, Kelly works in it. And if you've ever worked in the emergency services, you'll see how people's life can be turned over and turned upside down in a moment. Jody was talking about coming from work today and seeing a bad accident. That's how quick it can happen. So Paul, he gives them instructions to find the peace of God in times of trouble. Now the thing I like about Paul, David spoke of this peace in Psalms chapter 103. Daniel spoke of it in chapter 6. Paul spoke of it several times. Now it means something else to me when somebody tells me about the peace of God and says, look at me and do what I'm doing and have what I have. When they're sitting there in a Roman jail chained to 2 Roman soldiers. It means a little bit more to me coming from Paul than it does to someone else that hasn't ever lost a loved one and wanting to console someone that's lost a loved one. I think that I agree, not bringing politics into it, but I just want to say it. I agree with General Kelly. It's sad when the president, out of goodwill, can't just pick up the phone and tell somebody he's sorry for their loss when their loved ones gave their life for the country without such a mess and gone being made out of it. And no, he hasn't served. No, he hasn't lost someone. But it meant a lot to me when I saw General Kelly stand up in front of everybody and say he asked me what to say, knowing that I had lost one. So I'm more in tune to listen to him than a bunch of talking airheads. Paul's the same way. Now listen to me very carefully. Christians spends a fortune with psychiatrists. Christians, I use that lightly, has their whole lives tore up and can't deal with issues. Though we're told that God never leaves us nor forsakes us, though we're told that in whatever situation we go, His grace is sufficient. Paul says, beginning in verse 4, if you'll read with me, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both heard, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Paul said, now, if you'll listen to this, the God who gives this peace that passes all understanding will be with you. Now, there's a couple of qualifications that you have to meet. One, you have to be saved. You can never know the peace of God until you have made the peace with God. And the peace with God is only made through Christ Jesus. Every time I think of that peace with God, I think of a guy dying up on the hospital. He'd been a mean man all of his life, treated his children, beat them, drunk, beat them, and they were so afraid of him. Brother Don and I heard he was dying, and we went up there. And I'll never forget, he looked at us, he said, "Fellas, I've made peace with God." I said, "Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Have you come humbly before Him and as a sinner and ask Him to save your soul?" He said, "No, but I've made peace with God." I said, "No, there is no peace with God without going through Jesus Christ." He died just a few hours later, out in eternity, but yet no peace with God. If you don't have peace with God, you'll never have the peace of God. The reason why so many Christians are going all to pieces on every little thing that happens to them Some of them needs to have peace with God. And until they are saved, we each have a body, soul, and spirit. Our body relates to this physical world. Our soul deals with our minds, our emotions, our intellect. Our spirit deals with God. Your spirit cannot deal with God until it's been born again. When it's been made alive, it can deal with God. Your body deals with this world. It's important in this world. But when you leave this world, it's not important because you leave it behind. When you come back, you'll not get that body. You'll get a body that's been changed. It will be a glorified body. It'll be a different body. You'll never again have that body. It will be one purposed for eternity, for heaven, for sinlessness. But the soul is important. Now listen to me. The battle is in your mind. You understand? The battle is in your intellect. When the Bible speaks of your heart, it talks of your emotions, your intellect, your mind, the way you think about things. If you look there, the Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, what we need to understand is that what happens is, sometimes we put our own thoughts. We let our own imaginations. The word imaginations is that we thoughts, and over in 2 Corinthians, it says that we cast down all imaginations that go against God. In other words, what happens is we think things that God's word is clearly teaches otherwise. And when we do that, we allow our imaginations, our thought processes, our thinking to rob us of peace. You'll never have peace unless you'll see the situation as God has instructed you to look at the situation. If you look at it your way of thinking, it will make you anxious. That's why the Bible says, be careful in nothing. It means don't be anxious. Don't be all excited. Don't have anxiety to build up. I've had many people tell me that just anxiety just tears their lives apart. Now I understand, but God doesn't intend it to be that way. The peace of God is meant for those of us who are saved. Let's look just a few moments and let me deal with a couple things. Because as I said, when the Bible says, for as a man is in his heart, so is he, that means wherever your mind is, whichever one is being influenced, is it being influenced by the flesh? And by the way, the flesh wants your mind, Satan wants your mind, and the Lord wants your mind. There is a battle over your mind. Your spirit cannot sin. The moment you're saved, your spirit is sealed until the day of redemption. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, there is a seed within you that cannot sin. That's your spirit. It's pure. It was saved, made alive. That's why it can commune with God. Somebody said, well, my soul, your soul pours itself out, but your spirit is what communes with God. That's why it says his spirit witnesses with what? Your soul, your spirit, that you are the children of God. Because your spirit is the only purest part about you, as long as you've got your flesh, that can commune with God. Because it's a seed that cannot sin. It was made whole, it was sealed. And it's sealed until the day of redemption. Until you get born again, or until you get your new redeemed body, your spirit will be secure with God. That's a marvelous thing. All these people runs around that thinks they're lost and saved and lost and saved and lost and saved. They don't understand. The moment you get born again by the Spirit, your spirit is sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. And so therefore you are safe, sealed, and secure. Amen? Now, tonight I want to deal with this thought. Building a wall. Hear a lot about building a wall. There's four walls that you need to build if you're going to have peace. First one, look in your Bibles. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. To rejoice means to be glad in what God's given you. You can't rejoice in the Lord unless you're happy about what He's done for you. If you got your mind, you're complaining about everything else around you. If you're critical about everything, my friend, you can't rejoice. And can I tell you this? If you don't build a wall rejoicing with God, you'll never be able to have the peace of God. Have you ever been around somebody that all they see is the bad side? All they want to do is criticize. All they want to do is complain. Someone called me the other day, this guy was telling me, he said, I guess you get tired of me complaining all the time. I said, yeah, I sure do. I said, every time I talk to you, you drag me down. I said, do you have anything good to say about life? I said, there are some good things that you got. Why don't you look at your glass and see if it's half full? Instead of complaining about being half empty all the time. If you don't learn to build a wall, you don't learn and by the way, it doesn't mean that you're always going to be happy in this life. The Bible tells us differently. It says in this life, we're going to have tribulations. We're going to have troubles. Jesus didn't hide that from us. And I know this prosperity bunch of preaching, they don't have a clue what they're preaching about. It's not one of these things that you're always going to be happy and always going to be on top of the world and you're going to be able to just, when Satan comes along and say, get it gone and get behind me and go on. It doesn't work that way, folks. He chews you up and spits you out sometimes. He catches you off guard. He's a wily old devil, and he knows how to get you. So first of all, if you don't build your wall of praise in your life, you'll never have the peace of God when you have troubles in your life. You'll run to everybody else and everything else, but you'll never be able to find satisfaction in it. And remember what Paul's writing about toward the end of the chapter is being content in this life. I know in heaven we're going to be satisfied, but we need to learn to be a little content in this life. The second thing is, look if you would in verse 5. He says, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, what he's talking about is our patience. Moderation means to have a gracious spirit. Means that you put up with things. That you don't let everything everybody does just get you out and take you off the battlefield. I'll say this, and like I said, you've heard me say this a lot. There is things that comes out of the president's mouth that just stuns me sometimes. Then there are some things that he does that just knocks me off. But I'll say this. I don't know of a man that I can remember in modern time that takes the hits that he does and criticism he does from every direction in life and smiles and keeps going. I'm glad that he don't stop. I think he's got some arrogance sometimes. But you know, I'm glad that he doesn't stop and let everything somebody says about him just make him quit. Now, I do wish he'd just take it without saying something. But that's not in his DNA, evidently. But my point to you is this. You've got to have a wall of patience. You've got to understand you're going to be hurt. You've got to understand there's going to be things happen to you. You're going to understand there's going to be times that you've got to be in God's waiting room. You ever been in a waiting room waiting for news from a doctor? You ever been in a waiting room waiting to see how something's going to turn out? God puts us there sometimes. But we do know that God, that all things work together for our good. But we all go into those waiting rooms sometimes. And sometimes those things are far above us, out of our scope. We'd fix them if we could, but we can't. So we have to have a wall of patience, of grace. And if we don't learn to do that, if we don't learn to get beyond some things, then they'll destroy us in our life. The third thing is you have to build a wall of prayer. I was reading this one preacher, and he was preaching on this, and he had these four points. And so I don't mind telling you, I borrowed the wall from him. But a wall of prayer. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. In other words, I thank God that there's nothing too little, too big. Everything. He wants you to pray. Now listen to me a minute. If you're not praying about your problems, you're not facing your problems with the peace of God. The peace of God doesn't come when you don't pray. Now notice here just a moment, if you would. It talks about prayer. It actually talks about three types of prayer. It talks about prayer. Prayer here is just when you worship God, you generally talk to God and you generally go to God and pray. That's what prayer is. The Bible says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer. In other words, when you go up, you pray to God. You worship Him through coming to Him, recognizing Him, and putting yourself in a position of submission because He is who He is. God is glorified when we pray to Him. When we don't pray, He's not glorified. When we don't pray, we're saying we can take it, God, from here. Just stand by. But God likes to be glorified by us saying, Lord, we need you another day. Not only that, but look, if you would, not only prayer, but supplication. Supplication means there's something specific that you're going through that you've got to bring to God. Through our prayers and our supplications, those things that we want to bring, specific. Then he talks about our request. Our request is a defined prayer. It's something where we deal with an issue. The supplications are where we're dealing with burdens. And so therefore, we not only have prayer, and we have to remember that the Lord is always near to us. There is no place where we can't pray. There is no place that's not good to pray. I tell you what, there's been times I've dealt and I've met and somebody's going through something and we've stopped at the side of the road. We've stood in the hospital hallways while people walk by, done all kinds of things and prayed. We prayed for a specific thing that's going on and let our request be made known to God. Sometimes it is more urgent than worrying about what anybody else is thinking going by. But also notice in your Bibles, if you would, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thankfulness. You know how you get thankfulness? Now listen to me just a minute. You know how you get thankfulness? You got to look three places to be thankful to God. First, you look up. When you look up to God, you recognize what God's done for you. You recognize that He's the only place that you can go. So when you're thankful, you realize that everything that you have is because of Him. Did you know, by the way, that's what tithes and offerings are? is acknowledging to God that you recognize they came from Him. So we look up. The second thing is, if you want to be thankful, you got to look around. Listen to me. Are you thankful because God saved you? Are you thankful because of what He's done in your life? Are you thankful because of His health that He allowed you to have here? Are you thankful because of the prosperity that He's met with you? Are you thankful because of the family He put you into? Are you thankful because of the family of God that He includes you into? Look around. Have you ever looked around and saw people that was pitiful? Did you ever stop to say, God, thank you? Thank you for your blessings. I know Deborah's been having fits trying to get somebody to work on the floor. Every time she thinks she's got somebody, and Pat's about the same way with some things on her house. And every time she thinks, you're not by yourself, by the way, Pat. Deborah's been going through the same thing. Every time she thinks she's got somebody to do it, and finally this guy come and give her a bid, she went and got the money, and then he called and said, oh, I don't have time for it. And so she had to go back square one. But there's a lot of people that don't even have a floor. There's a lot of people that don't have a house, doesn't have clothes, and doesn't have what we have. So you need to be thankful by looking up, by looking around. Then also you'll get thankful when you look ahead. Folks, that train, that ship, that old ship of Zion, it's picking up speed. Somebody told me today, he said, you're old. I said, thank you. I said, I never thought I'd be 60. I never thought, I thought that was going to be ages away. But now, I hear the ship of Zion tooting a horn every now and then. And all those things when people complain about aches and pains and can't do this and can't do that, that used to. Now it's part me. Folks, you'll be thankful when you look ahead. And I tell you, as someone said, I forget who it was, I believe Brother Jim or somebody said, the old golden years ain't so golden. I said, they're golden because they take all your gold. You spend your fortune just trying to pay your doctor's bills. But the truth of the matter is, God has a way of weaning us off, because the older we get, the more ailments we get, the brighter the future looks. And see, we can be thankful by looking ahead. I told someone 2 days ago, I was talking to someone, and I told him, I said, you got nothing to look forward to. You better look around. This is all you got. If you die, hell is going to be your destiny. You better get Jesus. You see, we got a lot to be thankful for if you're saved. And the peace of God, we've got to have a wall of prayer. But you can't pray if you're not thankful. I don't know about you. Two things I find myself doing when I really get serious about praying. One is I come to God, and the first thing I do is ask Him to forgive me. The second thing I do is I thank Him for what He's done. Then I let all that other stuff come in and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I have this going on. But in everything. Last but not least, verse number 8. It says, and finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's a wall of purity. I'm sure you have been in the same place I've been. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I have no doubt that I'm going to heaven. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven because of Jesus, because of what He did. But there are times when the purity is not there. When the purity is not there, I lose fellowship with God. Have you ever had something in your life, and every time you pray, God would remind you of, you couldn't even pray unless you dealt with it? Do you ever have something in your life that when you lay in bed at night, it bothers you and you think about it? You're restless. You can't sleep. You see, if you don't build a wall of purity, it'll rob you of the peace of God too. You say, well, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. You might do it, but you'll not have the peace of God. And so Paul says, listen, I'm sitting here between two soldiers in a Roman prison. I'm fixing to get my head cut off. But I've got the peace of God. Now, if you'll do what I do, you can have the peace of God too, in whatever comes in your way. And you say, preacher, you just don't know what I've had to go through. Well, I will guarantee you this, and I'm not going to say I bet you, but if I was a betting man, I would. But I'll guarantee you this. Turn over to 2 Corinthians sometime and see what Paul went through in his life. And I guarantee you, there's not a person in here has suffered for the name of Christ like he had and gone through the things that he'd gone through and was facing the things that he was facing. So can I tell you this? Isn't it good to have the Word of God? Now it can cut us. It's sharp enough. It'll cut us. But when it cuts us to trim us and to shape us. But isn't it good to know that you have the truth? Isn't it good to know that, and by the way, when it talks about that we are to cast down all imaginations there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, it's talking about that we don't let our minds go against what God's saying. And when we have the Word of God, isn't it good to know you have the truth? I tell you what, this old world is starving for truth. There's not a good source to find truth anymore, except one. And you know what? When we conform to it and build these walls, regardless of what we go through, we can find the peace of God. Just like Paul found the peace of God. Amen. Let's stand. Brady, you want to come get a song tonight? Just play.